The Holy Gospel this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of our Lord.
To you, O Christ.
We turn now to hymn number 856. We sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as a basis for our reflection this morning is the Old Testament lesson appointed for today, reading some selected verses from Deuteronomy 30. "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, By walking in his ways and keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. So far the reading of our text. Please be seated. Choices, we make them every day. Some are easy, some are difficult, but not always for the same reasons. Choosing whether or not to trust your mom or dad to help you free that loose baby tooth, well, that can be pretty scary. My uncle once told me to tie a string around it, tie the string to a doorknob, and then slam the door shut. Well, I never did think that a measly 25 cents from the tooth fairy was a sufficient reward for such foolishness. Well, then maybe there's your decision to start some exercise program or a diet. Deciding it is, I don't have to tell you, is an easy thing to do. Doing it is another when you just as soon stay in bed or when you get home from a tiring day at work to put up your feet, relax, turn on the TV, or have a nap rather than go out to a gym or go for a long walk or a jog. Choosing between a slime green health food smoothie, I don't care if it's got kale in it and spinach and broccoli, choosing between that and your favorite cookies or cake, well, I don't see that as much of a challenge. That's a decision that, to me, comes a little bit easier. Choices. Some easy, some hard. But they are a part of every single day of life from the moment you choose to get out of bed, whether you really wanted to or not, till the time when you choose to return. Some are big, some are small, but all in some way, greater or lesser, have an impact on the present as well as your future. In the reading this morning from Deuteronomy 30, Moses, directed by the Lord, asked the people, "So what shall it be, life or death?" I believe in the midst of reasonably good times, most people given such a choice would surely choose life, though there are situations where some might consider choosing otherwise. As you heard those words now and previously, the words of Moses, we are reminded that choice is ours. Which do you choose, life or death? It's easy and pretty natural to respond to such a question by saying, well, of course, I'd choose life. But what does that mean? Moses said, choose life, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. Jesus, in today's gospel, using some extreme hyperbole to drive home the all-or-nothing commitment of following him and its cost. Moses warns, but if your hearts turn away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. That's all quite black and white, and for some, perhaps a little too much so. Looking at their own lives and track records, they'd prefer something a little grayer or somewhere more in the middle. Black and white is good for one's neighbor, but not so much for ourselves. I was once told by a parishioner in jest, I think, "Pastor, you know the mark of a really good sermon?" And I fell for it. "No." And he said, "Well, it's when the listener knows exactly which guy you're preaching to." And obviously he meant it wasn't himself. It's ironic when you think about it that in today's lesson we are being asked to choose life. But we live in a society that enacts laws to make it perfectly fine to end the life of a child in the womb, or at some point later to end a life using licensed drugs under certain qualifying conditions and calling that legal. And yet, should you choose to use a gun to end the life of someone who has met all the exact same criteria, well, that would be called murder. This year in Canada, there's been already at least 118 such legal deaths, which doesn't include any statistics from Quebec, where such a practice has been legal since the fall of 2015. I don't know, I know a lot of you are on Facebook, and so you see these inspirational quotes all the time. Well, apparently life is not nearly as precious in the eyes of some as so many of those inspirational quotes would seem to suggest. Daily, no matter what the law may say, we're called on to choose life, and daily we fail. I fail, you fail. And daily we suffer as a result. We choose not to listen to what the Lord commands. We're almost professional at breaking his commandments, whether it happens to be to hate others in our heart, misuse his name, or gossip about others and their character. Though we might never label them as such, we readily choose other gods like popularity, political correctness, pleasure, power, or success. We worship such things devotedly, serving them daily with endless offerings of effort, energy, time, and money. And sadly, in the end, in so many ways, we reap what we have sown. Stress and its related ailments, discontent, fractured relationships and families, unhappiness, even misery. Like a child who has been told time and time again to pick up their toys or make their bed, but doesn't, yet they still want a treat when you're out shopping, or they ask for more time to play or to watch more TV, we too choose not to listen to the Lord. But the minute we're in trouble, the minute we're facing illness, struggling with grief, having problems at work, we run to God almost demanding his immediate assistance, and maybe even reminding him of all those times when we've given or volunteered, the times we've remembered to pray, even we've made it to worship, unlike so many other people who call themselves Christian. Do we fail and make wrong choices? Of course we do. All the time, and in so many ways. Ways that are far more significant than choosing that delicious-looking dish that was so tempting at the buffet table that you took a generous helping, but one bite into it, you knew it was a gag-generating mistake. That because your mother told you to eat everything on your plate, you choked it down. More importantly, how can we make the right choice for life? There is only one way, and it was in Moses' directions as well. It's by loving the Lord our God, by obeying his voice and holding fast to him, clinging to him all the way to the cross and back, clinging to him as if our lives depended on it, because they do. Now, some might wonder or even question, how can we possibly choose to follow the Lord when the Bible clearly says that our natural inclination, our human nature, is an enemy of God, and that it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can ever cry out to him? Both are indeed true. But we need to also remember that Jesus is the one who first comes to us. As he said to his disciples, "It's not that you have chosen me, I chose you." He invites us to follow him, observing what he has commanded us, even as he promises to be with us every step of the way. Moses' words on the Lord's behalf were addressed to the Lord's people, people who already knew the Lord, people who prayed to him repeatedly and worshiped him, though not always so faithfully, rather much like you and I. They were people who through the years knew what the Lord had done for them, how he had delivered them and protected them and provided for them. It was not an ice-cold challenge without any previous relationship to him. Neither is it for us today who know the Lord, know his blood-stained cross and the forgiveness he won for us there, not because we deserve it, but won for us there because of all the times we have failed to make the good choice. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Star Wars. In fact, there was a Star Wars adventure out on the lawn here yesterday. But if you recall, and I'm not sure which movie it was in, but there is a scene where Yoda, advising young Luke Skywalker, just before he's going to attempt to get his fighter up and out of the swamp, Luke somewhat half-heartedly says, "I'll try." To which Yoda said, "No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try." On that day long ago, Moses quite bluntly laid out the choices for the people. It was then as it is now, simply a yes or a no, a do or a do not. His options didn't include, well, maybe, or perhaps a little later. No one was given the choice to say, "Let me think about it, Moses." Neither was saying, "I'll try," an option. Jesus never made suggestions, and neither did Moses in the text this morning. Today we are invited again to choose life, as we are invited to do so every day. Properly understood, it's a decision in faith, one that is followed by action. It's not a matter of saying, "I choose life today," and then doing nothing about what that means. That would be just like saying, "I'm going to clean my room," but only to continue to make it dirtier. As a Christian, we make faith choices all the time. You're out for dinner, whether at a friend's or in a restaurant, and you choose to say grace or not. That doesn't mean you have to get down on your knees by the table or raise your hands to heaven in the Jewish practice of prayer, but you choose to pray or not. You choose to read a devotion and the related scripture passages, or you skip it as you pick up a novel or turn on the TV. You choose to tell a non-Christian friend that you're praying for them, or you refrain from doing so because, well, you don't want to endanger your friendship. You don't want to upset them or make them uncomfortable. Choosing life is not a choice that we make once and then are never faced with again. One doesn't give their life to Jesus and never make that commitment again. We don't take our confirmation vows and then get a certificate saying, "Now you're in, you're done, no matter what you do." To choose life in this life is to choose it over and over again, holding fast to him who holds fast to us. He is our life now and yet to come. Today you will be making many, many choices. You already have. You chose to get dressed for church, and I think most of us are glad you did. You're slow this morning. But I suppose that might be your choice too. As the day continues, you will choose what to eat, what to do, where to go, or what to watch on TV. Dare to think, to pray, and to act on how your choices may reflect and honor the life you are offered in Jesus, and then choose life. Hold fast to him for all you're worth, because to Jesus you are worth everything. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen. We turn back to the hymn of the day, hymn 856. We join in singing the remaining stanzas.